My name is Stephanie Romeo. I'm 46 years old. Today is July 21st, a Thursday. We're at the World Trade Center sound booth in the PATH station. And I'm talking to my sister today about her experiences on 9/11.
Hi, my name is Diane Spindler. I'm 44 years old. It's the 21st of July, 2005. We're down here in the booth at the World Trade Center, and this is my sister interviewing me.
So, Di. I call her Di, by the way. Her full name is Diane, but she's always been Di to me. So, September 11th, my God, we've talked about this countless, numerous, thousands of times. We've cried. We even laughed. I mean, it's kind of hard to even believe that, but we have. But this is something that, you know, we feel really good about doing and sharing the story, especially, you know, you having gone through what you have and sharing it with the world, basically.
Right.
I think that's really cool. So just to start off, I mean, just to go in order, I mean, that morning you woke up, was like when you woke up that morning, anything?
Well, it started actually like a brand new day for me because I just moved into my new apartment.
That's right.
And I was excited about that.
The first morning you woke up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was like a different route that I was taking. And I was early because where I lived before, it took me a long time to get to work. So I was happy that I got there early.
Just to let people know, like you're
living in... I start work at 8:30.
Okay.
I was living in Staten Island prior to 9/11. I moved September 3rd. So September 11th, I was in my new place and got the express bus, as normally do, but it was much earlier. And I was so happy that I got to work early because I was always late.
So what time?
8:45, I would get to work. I was supposed to be there at 8:30.
Okay.
So
what was early?
So I got there like at 8:30.
Okay.
Oh, 20 after 8, whatever. Okay, I got upstairs. And what I normally do is, you know, talk to my coworkers. I just remember the day because it was beautiful out.
Yeah.
It was just so clear out.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a nice day. I was
had
feeling
such
happy.
Horrible weather. Like
it was election day. It was
right.
You know, I didn't know what to expect because, you know, the traffic and
right.
You know, just that kind of thing. Got upstairs, talked to my coworker, and actually, I was standing by his desk. His name is Ron, and all of a sudden, the building just, there was a loud noise, tremendous sound that, and the building actually swayed that I was standing up, and I actually was falling over, and my coworker, Ron, was sitting, and he actually stood up and kind of like grabbed me, and of course I said, "What the hell?" Everybody's like, "What the hell is that?" And we were all like, in a panic at that point, because then we saw things. The World Trade Center had long windows,
right.
You know, from ceiling to floor.
Right.
And I was standing up, and I could just see things flying in the air. It wasn't like big things. We couldn't figure out what it was. Ron said, it must have been a generator or something that that crashed, that fell on the roof. Or it was just so, we couldn't figure out what it was.
Right.
And
so, first of all, you should say too that, you know, the floor you were on.
Oh, yes. I worked in One World Trade Center, the 21st floor.
Which was the North Tower.
Yeah. 2161 was the suite.
Right. The name of your company.
Yeah, I worked for, and still do, United Seamen Service. It's a nonprofit organization for merchant seamen. We have social clubs overseas, and New York is the headquarters of this organization. So, we're not a big group. We're 11 people in the office at that time. I think one person was on jury duty and another person started work at 9. So majority, we were all in at that time,
right.
When the plane hit at, 10 to 9, the first 8,
yeah.
Right? It was a 10 to 9.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So then Ron ran out. It was so funny because we were getting like phone calls.
Right.
One of our trustees calls up about a meeting. Goes, I can't talk right now. He hangs up the phone.
God,
you know.
Yeah.
He ran out to the hallway and he saw cracks in the wall. And he figured, oh, this is bad. Because we experienced the first bombing in 1993.
Yeah, I remember.
And I just said to one of my coworkers, get your pocketbook. Because I remember from the first time. So
yeah.
I remember my boss was saying, okay, everybody out, everybody out. So we got out. I remember going to the front door, and I kind of broke down. I was like, oh, my God, not again. I was starting to cry.
So you knew something was really bad.
Yeah, one coworker put his arm around me and said, it's going to be okay. Somebody else was like, don't worry about it. Let's go. So I composed myself, and girls went out first. Men ran out last. We went to the stairwell. I remember it was organized. People were, like, pretty calm. The lights were on.
But that's right, because they didn't have lights before.
Right. The first one, it was completely dark, and I remember going down the steps at that time. The smoke was getting heavier and heavier. You couldn't breathe. This mm-hmm. time, clear. Mm-hmm. The lights were on, but that smell, it was
the jet fuel? Or
yeah, it was something I never smelled before. Mm-hmm.
What did it smell like? I mean, do you remember? You just know.
Like a burning...
Like a
gasoline, I guess, but not like a typical gasoline.
Like a burning rubber, or, I mean, you can't...
I couldn't even describe it. Yeah. Just couldn't describe it. Mm-hmm. I was with my coworker, a woman named Eileen, and believe it or not, we were like the same height. We're very mm-hmm. short, and she held my hand down the whole 21 flights of steps. Mm. So we got down to the end.
Did you see firemen coming up?
No, mm-hmm. no, because I think it was still early,
right, of
you know,
course,
at
sure.
that time, because yeah. we got down there pretty fast.
The North Tower,
I think it only took us 20 minutes to get down.
20 minutes.
Yeah, so down to the plaza level
right.
where that big sphere was.
Right.
That's the plaza. And I remember getting down there and seeing the plaza with all these different things that were unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I remember I was talking on the phone. I said that it looked like tree trunks, mm. you know, and it must have been like bodies
oh, yeah.
that were burnt. But
oh, God.
And then a lot of glass, a lot of things. I didn't want to look because they kept saying walk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, going down the steps too. The water was rising. I remember that.
What do you mean? There was water on the floor?
On the steps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my coworker took her shoes off.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God.
I don't take your shoes off. I kept my, you know, right. you know, keep your shoes on. And we got down there. Then she put her shoes back on because somebody was saying, come on, get your shoes on, keep walking, you know. So they kind of pushed us along. I couldn't see my other coworkers at that time. The other girls kind of went in front of us. Mm-hmm. We lost sight of them.
Right.
I don't know where the men were, but I know that they were behind me
mm-hmm.
later on because they told me they were
mm-hmm.
behind me. Got out through the plaza, seeing all that debris and all that glass. I remember the security guard saying, come on, move it. They were there, you know, guys that you'd see every day
mm-hmm.
going through the turnstiles to go
right.
up, showing your ID. I remember
right.
seeing familiar faces. And then they told us to go through the Marriott Hotel. Broken glass all over. Then we got to the end, and the
so
guys.
Were the windows of the Marriott broken? I mean, was it?
Well, because it was inside,
oh,
right?
Okay.
You had to go through this revolving door. It was
mm-hmm.
inside.
Right.
We weren't
right.
outside
right.
yet.
Right.
So I remember that was shattered. Just mm. the revolving door, and just things just totally in a disarray, broken.
Right.
Just.
Right.
I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of details, but. But getting out to the plaza, going through the Marriott Hotel, the security guard said, he was telling everybody to go out one by one. And he was like, when you go out, don't look up and cover your head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, what I did was
I looked up
because
right.
I wanted to see what the hell was coming down on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And my coworker was in front of me. And
when you looked up, what did you see?
You know what? The bright sun. It was just so beautiful. And but the smell and just alarms going off, just people screaming, people running. I just kept running, and then of course then I have a heart condition. I couldn't breathe, and I was trying to run, and she goes, come on, run. We ran down West Street.
Mm-hmm.
First we came out of Liberty Street.
So what, you're out?
Coming out of the hotel.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
My girlfriend went first, and
mm-hmm.
then I went.
Mm-hmm.
She's running fast, but I couldn't catch up to her because of my condition. I was like, and I think I was just probably in shock at that point, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, nervous. Because I, when he said something's going to fall on your head, I was like
oh
looking up and, you know, running. And then I saw a plane. I said to myself, boy, that plane is so low. What is it doing here? Not thinking that, you know, like... it was going to be hitting the building. Right. And the next thing I knew, as you look up, sometimes you look up, you can't really see because
yeah,
it's so high.
Yeah.
But the next thing I knew, the plane went into the building. The sound was loud, and I kind of just froze there. I couldn't move.
So you were literally like right underneath it.
Well, it was pretty close.
Okay.
And I just kind of like, I think I was just, paralyzed with fear at that point. Or in shock, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I couldn't run anymore. I was like, I couldn't catch my breath. I was like, my pain in my chest was pounding. Mm-hmm. And I was just stood there like a statue.
So you're on West Street.
Yeah, and I remember looking up at this guy's face, and his mouth was open. And at that point, I couldn't hear anymore. I became deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that.
And I had my menstrual cycle, and it's almost like I had like a hemorrhage. Like my whole body just went through this whole shocking, I guess. I was in shock. But then you kind of like wake up, like, and just the next instant is to run.
Right.
So
you ran.
So I ran down the street.
You with Eileen?
Eileen, yeah. Then she helped me along. She stayed with me. We ran down this street called Albany Street,
mm-hmm.
which is one of those skinny streets mm-hmm. down when you pass West Street, when you cross over.
Right.
And I remember just people just screaming. Oh, I remember the shoes. There was a lot of shoes on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where the hell did all these shoes come from? And like, and just people screaming and just being in a daze. People gathering, people coming out. Because then when you go into Battery Park City, there's some stores, there's some restaurants.
Right.
And people just gathering out in like a big crowd. People running to payphones. People trying to get people on their cell phones. Then we just stood there, kind of like figuring out, like, what should we do? I think I tried to say, let's go to a payphone. Too long of a line. Went to the next one. Too long of trying to gather our thoughts of what to do. And
so I'm just curious. Did you know, like, this something was really hard? I mean, something. If this wasn't an accident, basically, you knew that something was really bad. Someone planned this, you know.
Well, you know, I don't think that way at all.
You never thought, even with the second, well, you didn't know that the first plane had hit?
I didn't, exactly.
You didn't know that, okay.
I didn't know that a plane hit the building.
That you were in.
Yeah. But then you kind of like, at that time I couldn't figure that out.
Right.
I had
just,
no clue.
You were just,
yeah.
Just under too much stress. Yeah.
Then we decided, I said to her, let's go, my boss lives in Battery Park City.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's go there, maybe they went there. And I remember the story later on, my coworkers, the men, they told them to stop because, see, the plane hit Tower 2.
Right before that.
And they were at the door.
Oh, boy.
And the whole building shook, and they didn't even know if they were going to get out. But then finally they let them out. So a couple of them ended up, we all went to Roger's house, who's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
We waited there for a little bit, and all of a sudden I saw Richie and I saw Mark. And Roger, my boss. And I was, like, so happy to see him. I was hugging him. I didn't hug my boss because I was like, oh, I didn't know I was going to react. Like, so I was like, he thought we can go up to his apartment. But his security said, nobody's going upstairs unless you live here.
Right.
So he said, okay, give me all your numbers. I'll call your family. So he's, like, trying to write down phone numbers.
Oh,
and
right.
He's so bad with numbers. He always messing them up. And so we're giving him all that information. And then he went upstairs, and he was in the process of calling us, our families. In the meantime, we went into this, where in the back of his building is a courtyard, and I guess all the residents there were gathering, and whoever, people from maybe the office of World Financial Center's right over there.
Right.
Who knows? Well, the people were there. Just
right.
People like were all over the place, and,
right.
and just kept looking up at the towers. And I remember sitting on this little beautiful little bench. Me and Eileen were just sitting there, just kind of like gathering our thoughts. And Mark was there for a little bit, but then he walked away. And we're sitting there. Now the bench is facing opposite. It faces the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Facing the opposite of the World Trade Center.
Right.
Right. So. I don't know, we would just like turn around like this looking, and all of a sudden we were looking at it, and all of a sudden you hear this crescendo, this kind of like boom, 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 and like getting faster,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're seeing the building coming down. And we just stood there.
I was just you were sitting and then you just stood up? I mean,
then we stood up. When we saw that, then we actually stood up and then started looking. It stood there for God knows how long. I mean, I don't know how long it took the whole building to come down, but maybe...
Seconds, basically. Because I watched it from the street, and it was silent from where I was. I was on 6th Avenue.
Yeah.
Like, right by Ray's Pizza
on,
like, 11th Street and 6th Avenue. And I'll never forget. It was so shocking. I thought I was going to faint.
Yeah.
It was hard. You just, you know, I saw the buildings on fire. I knew that something was really bad, but you just never, ever...
Yeah.
Imagine that happening, and
uh-huh.
just everyone around me was just going, "Oh shit! Oh shit!" I just that's all I kept saying, like,
yeah.
"Oh my god!"
Yeah, I've heard that. I've
oh
heard
my
that a
god!
Lot also,
you know,
yeah.
And I almost lost my mind. It was just, and then my thought was like, I knew you were on the 21st floor.
Yeah.
I knew that you got out. I mean, you were there in '93. You knew what to do. All those people, but that was shocking.
Yeah.
And that made me feel like, oh my god, is my sister dead?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
When I saw that big ball, it looked like something from a sci-fi movie. So surreal. So you can't believe it's happening. I guess after it started coming down, then we started to run. I guess I'm a delay reaction, you know.
Right.
We started to run. We lost sight of Richie. We lost sight of Mark. So it was just her and I, and of course Roger was upstairs in his apartment. And the next thing I know, we're starting to run, and that big ball of whatever it was, smoke and ash, and coming at us like, you know, like attacking us. You felt like you were being attacked by an alien, and then we were running, and it was like there's like a wall over here with big shrubbery, so you couldn't go that way. Straight ahead was another wall, so we had to go like down this little path, and the next thing I know, Mark. We saw his face, and he just had his arms out,
wow.
and he just gathered us on. I was on one end, he was on, she was on the other end, and he just grabbed us. And then by that time, that thing was on top of us, and we kind of like he goes, let's jump in the water, like oh god. But the next thing, the whole thing came over us, and then it turned. He said the last thing he said was, "God be with us." And I remember putting my face in his armpit, and I had my medal on. I was holding on to that, and I was trying to think of a prayer, the Hail Mary. I couldn't think of all the words. I was like, Hail Mary, full of grace. And then I just thought of my son, and I was just Michael. I remember saying Michael, just his name, and then it went black, and we were there for like it felt like an eternity. Because I thought this was it. I'm gonna die because I probably won't be able to breathe in this and. A calmness came over me, like, I said, okay, this is my time to go, I'm going to go, that's it. I felt blessed because I wasn't alone,
oh.
you know, and I just thought of Michael, but I was so happy that I was with somebody, I was like, I wasn't alone, and it was just silent, and the next thing I know, it was completely dark, and stood there, and we just stood there, and Mark was like, I think I see the sky. I think I see the sky. I see some of the blue sky. He said, I think it's clearing. I think it's clearing. It was like a miracle because, like, the wind just, like, took this big thing that we were in and just shifted to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing we know, it was like, prior to that big thing coming up, it was like, like white smoke, gray smoke,
yeah,
black smoke.
Right.
That's what it was. Because
as
we were
there,
we were looking at our feet, and then you could just see, you know, you couldn't see anymore kind of
right.
thing. That's what that was like. Your eyes just... And then I think I shut my eyes because I didn't know, and I just wanted to close my eyes and just...
So then, okay, so there's light, and then, you know, you guys, you could see each other and everything.
Right,
and
then hope, and then... Then the sounds as it was starting to clear around us, coughing, crying, vomiting, a baby's cry, voices, come here, come this way, in like distant, you know, because that area that we were in wasn't that heavily with people. It wasn't like a lot of people, because it was a residential.
Right.
And it's right by the promenade there,
right,
where people,
yeah, jog,
know,
and
jog. It's really pretty area.
Yeah.
And the next thing we know is, as everything clears out, there's a boat right there by the water's edge. And some guy, he must have been a worker, he must have been some kind of guy that, he didn't look like a resident, he must have came from work or whatever. He comes to my girlfriend Eileen like an angel out of nowhere. He says, "Come this way." It was like so mysterious. So we follow him, and he goes, "Come on, get on this boat." I recall seeing, like I think I told you, the Mexican woman, she must have been a nanny, had that baby wrapped in, I remember the blue and pink kind of blanket. I remember an older woman, white hair, like in a bun, with a tank top. Her head was gashed, blood coming from her head.
Now, let me just say one thing, because I know that... Mama, there's much more to come, but I just remember from talking to Mark, because I did talk to him after that many times, and he told me basically that you guys were saved because the World Financial Center are big buildings, and they basically absorb
all the
major
debris,
stuff falling.
Oh, I think so.
And
if
you
there
know,
was
for
no
for the people,
right?
You know, those poor people who are under like an area that was not, you know, hidden or enclosed or whatever.
Right.
I mean, my God, just, I heard like, you know, things the size of Buicks and like, I mean, hunks of all, I mean, just all kinds of things.
That's probably some of the things I saw at the plaza level, like just probably things of steel.
Like desks and like furniture and, you know, just, you know, girders or just everything you can imagine.
Right.
It goes into a building and what's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you were lucky.
Yeah. Very lucky. So
when did you realize so the guy says, "Come with me," and you go on the boat.
So they were firemen, but they were like working on this to restore this old fire boat that they were working on.
It's actually a famous boat, and there's, I forget the name of it, the James, it's maybe
Henry, the James Henry is
really?
Called. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm
I
positive.
Think there's something else, there's another name.
Maybe something after that, yeah.
I have an article, because the New York Times wrote a story about it.
I have it too. Yeah.
And, so that was the boat that you,
right, so,
you were saved
so
on.
Now they're trying to get people on this boat. I think they were trying to get the injured on first.
Right.
And then they got us on. I remember it's a very high wall, and then it has that fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I'm short, so I had to like jump over, and then it was a big jump then from the boat to that fence.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't jump, and so somebody pushed me down and hit my ass, and there I went flying, and somebody caught me. I was like, co-workers are like, "Wow,
your underwear." Were you wearing a skirt that day?
No, thank God. Oh, okay. I wasn't wearing a skirt. I was wearing pants. Oh God.
So you basically were.
I got pushed on that boat.
All right. So
okay.
All right. So you're on the boat.
And it's crowded, and people are stunned, and.
I mean, what was the were people talking, or were they just kind of quiet, or what was it?
No, there was a lot of chatter, just
like crazy talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're crazy. You know.
I was stunned. I was like, I could not say anything. I was speechless.
Right.
I feel like maybe I was, you know. Yeah. Then I started sneezing. Maybe it was the sea air, and like, because all that stuff was on you, and it was in my lungs, and you know, people coughing and throwing up. Maybe they inhaled a lot of that stuff, but all I kept doing in the sea air just kind of made me sneeze it out. So I was pretty lucky, I think, that boat was there.
And then what happened?
Then
to the boat?
Mark was like, "Now, just in case this boat sinks."
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I said, "Oh my God, I can't swim. I'm gonna die today for sure."
Oh my God.
I thought to myself, "I just survived that thing, but I'm gonna die in the water." And then they're trying to put
what
a line.
Say that. I mean,
because that's the way he is, a realist, you know.
Oh my God!
We're happy
more
that
like
he
a
was
pessimist.
He's that way.
But he's—I would never.
He's wonderful, but he's
I would
very
never,
truthful. He's
I
just,
would But well, I never see him in that light. Okay.
Yeah, well, right. You don't work
but
with him.
But I remember
either.
What you told me. Like, okay, you guys are on the ferry and you're going towards Jersey City and Mark.
It's not a ferry, it's the.
Or whatever the boat.
That fireboat.
The fireboat.
Yeah.
And Mark, thankfully, lives in Jersey City, so you guys have a place to go.
Yeah. But well, we didn't know that at the time, you know, where the boat was going, direction. But we figured we're going to the Jersey
area,
right? Okay. I remember them trying to put a life jacket on me. It was like, couldn't fit. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to die today.
Okay, Di.
I know.
So
I'm sorry.
No, hey, listen.
I'm laughing
no,
just, about this now, but
no,
right
know,
after, I couldn't stop crying for days after.
Days.
I was
and
a mess. I was a mess.
Yeah. No, I know. But you, I remember you saying that you guys were on the boat and you looked towards the city and
right. And then we heard it again.
The same.
The
noise.
Crescendo again. And we couldn't believe it.
Oh,
we lost
God.
Our tower. My
but
beloved
you know,
towers. I loved that place so much.
You worked
so
there for how long?
In 10 years. It was a great place to work. You saw so many different kinds of people. It's like at that time I didn't do much traveling, but I didn't have to because I must have seen every nationality there was.
Right.
People
right.
used to come from everywhere. You know, yeah. So it was a great place to work. I loved it. It was a city within a city.
Yeah.
You know, downstairs
mm-hmm.
and the
so
concourse level and.
Did you find out about people who didn't make it? I mean,
yeah.
People like the staff of the building and just anybody else?
Well, some of my coworkers, like, they were friendly with a lot of people in the Port Authority,
mm-hmm.
people who worked up in the Windows of the World.
Yeah.
A friend of mine lost a lot of friends that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who worked in the cafeteria or
right.
Up in the restaurant part. I remember one particular person. In our business, people could come in and donate books because we send them out to sea for the Merchant Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular man who worked for the Port Authority. He used to come in once a week with all these magazines and all these books. And I always have to write out a receipt for him. And he always used to make me laugh. And I found that he died later. I felt so
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
I heard stories later on about just people in the elevator and just the fuel just coming down those.
I mean, people who
fire in
people
the
who survived it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I heard stories. One man was in the concourse, and the fire came down and went into the revolving door.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just crazy things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think compared to what, because the news and I, believe me, for a whole year after that, I couldn't get enough World Trade Center stories. I had to hear everyone, and
yeah.
I bought magazines and newspapers, and
mm-hmm.
I listened to the you know all the media and everything. And it just after a while, it was just so much. But I just remembered just these horrible stories of people, you know, pieces of bodies, you know, strewn through the streets,
yeah.
and you know the people trying to get by, and you know, and all this craziness is happening around them. It's like, how do you as a human being react to something like that? I mean, like, it's like you're in war.
Yeah.
You know, you're I guess as a soldier, you kind of expect to see some terrible things, but
right.
as a civilian who
yeah.
had no clue, you went to work that day and then all of a sudden there are
death around you.
There are decapitated bodies around you and
yeah.
and worse. I mean, I still can't get over that thought that those two huge buildings are gone now.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're sitting right at the seat of them, and you know, coming out of this PATH station, you'd go up the escalator or whatever into
yeah.
the concourse area,
yeah.
and now you come out of the subway here, and you have light and air.
I try to recall where things were every time I walk by here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where was I? Well, that's where FedEx used to be. That's where used to go down there for Duane Reade, because Duane Reade was one place, and then it moved because
right.
they were in the midst of a whole renovation. You know,
right.
they were bringing all these upscale stores and. It was going to be wonderful. You know?
Also, it just reminded me of like Larry Silverstein, who was the you know the owner of the Trade Center.
Yeah.
And on, and actually, I have a copy of it at home because you gave me a copy of rent due from
yeah.
September 1st to September 10th or did, was
something
it
like that. Yeah.
He wanted his rent.
Yeah.
For September.
Yeah. Well, I was like, well, where's all security then? You know. Yeah.
Oh
that was just. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not say anything in public about that.
What you just did, now it's recorded.
Yeah, well, there you go, Larry.
You heartless.
Yeah. Hey, we're from Brooklyn. We can talk this way. But I honestly had a kind of a very strange, I had a really strange experience. It was actually 3 weeks before September 11th. It was a Tuesday. My friend Samantha was visiting me from L.A., and she came out and spent a week with me. And I remember waking up that morning, the 22nd, and I heard planes, and they were really, really loud. And when I asked her later if she heard the planes, she said, no, I didn't hear any planes. And I had very extremely vivid dreams. And wow. In the dream, which I keep a journal as well, so I write dreams down, I wrote this dream down of towers crumbling, and that we weren't hurt, and I didn't say who we were. I didn't know who we, is me and somebody else, or I don't know. And but we were okay, and that, but the thing was that I knew that it was not a natural disaster. It was, and I wrote this, it was a military action.
Mm.
Okay, so that was, I woke up that morning, the 22nd of August.
Mm-hmm.
That day, I went, Sammy and I went to Century 21's to go shopping, and I said, you know what, my sister works right across the street, why don't we go say hi?
I'm working 10 years, you never came to visit me.
Never.
I was so thrilled,
never,
you finally came up.
That's right, never went to your office.
Yeah.
So, of course, the security was extremely tight, and actually two of your coworkers came and escorted us upstairs.
Yeah, right, you had
really,
to be.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And we went up there, we saw, you know, your beautiful wide open office, and then there was this
nice
gorgeous conference area.
Right. Well,
and Sammy took out her camera.
Mm-hmm.
She started snapping pictures.
Right.
And basically, my friend photographed your escape route.
Yeah, that's true.
That day, because I have the picture at home now.
That's true.
It's framed now.
Yeah.
So,
I
just can't believe it. And the thing was that I didn't realize what I wrote until 3 weeks after September 11th.
Isn't that amazing? So yeah, it was so like a premonition.
I don't know. It was so weird. It was so weird, but so vivid.
Mm. Well, we love New York so much. You feel like connected to it.
Oh, my God. It made me, I will never forget the profound, profound sense of sadness, of connection with people.
Yeah.
I remember people looking you in the eye, in the subway, on the street.
Yeah.
Union Square was just like, I can't even begin to put into words how just the love vibes out there were just so strong and just this sorrow.
The worst day of humanity and the best day of humanity.
Yeah, I mean, because people in this city, man, I mean, we're born here and I ain't leaving. You know, I've lived elsewhere, but I've always come back.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a sad thing that today, you know, London had bombings today that thank God no one was killed, but it was 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks ago.
That
other 56 people were killed
on
the subways there. I lived in London myself, and I remembered very, very distinctly the neighborhood I lived in was the East End, and there was a church across the way from my apartment building, and it still had the soot and the dirt from the bombs in 1941 or 1940 where the Blitz was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, wow, you know, these people experienced war on their own terms. And you know what? On September 11th,
you did
we
too.
Did. So, and, you know, I don't forget that. You can't forget that.
The good part about my company is that we all survived.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
I mean, like, all those people. I mean, oh my God, my friend worked for Marsh McLennan, and they lost 267 people, and then there was Cantor Fitzgerald, which lost, like, 700 or something.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling. But it really, I mean, it really brought so many people together. There was so much love, and it's unfortunate that our government or politicians did nothing about it. They didn't use all those good feelings of solidarity.
Well,
you know,
because they,
all right,
that's the way it goes.
Let me get all, you know,
that's for another time.
Right.
You're going off on a tangent.
Yeah, right. But
I feel blessed that you were,
that people just walked around like obviously they were in a daze.
Yeah.
And but there was so much, I mean, I felt connected with people, you know.
You definitely changed the way you think, the way you feel. You just have to appreciate every day and just love the people that you're with, or even strangers. You just like, hey, you know, you don't have to hate me because I'm white or I'm black, I'm on this, I'm that,
right.
What religion you are, is, you know, that's what I learned, really. Although I wasn't really like that to begin with, but even more so, it's...
Yeah. Makes you appreciate, you know,
yeah.
I mean, people, like, because, you know.
And trying to teach that to my son, he's going to be 10 years old, and he's pretty hip to, like, different kinds of people. And, you know, if it starts at home,
that's right.
You know, then hopefully it'll carry on to the next generation, the generation after that, and so on. But I can't understand people who just have so much hatred in their heart. They just want to kill somebody that's just going to work. You know, have nothing to do with you and your beliefs. That's the sad part, mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that's reality.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Do you guys remember when you first saw each other after the attacks, and then you knew that Diane was okay?
Well,
I didn't come home till the next day.
Yeah,
I couldn't get home. I was
right,
in Jersey,
right.
And they shut everything down. My boss was kind enough; he got us a hotel room in Jersey City, And I actually didn't see you till the next day.
That's right.
Everybody came over to my mother's house, and we just hugged each other and cried.
Oh, God. It was
my
so
mother called up and said to my sister, go find your sister.
Because
like she could go find me, you
my,
know?
My mother, I happened to call. It was like 9:02 when I called my mother, and she had the television on, and she was hysterical at that point. And then... all of a sudden I hear, oh my God, there's another one, and then she started to scream like an animal, and
I didn't know that.
She basically lost it. She lost it, and I just hung up the phone. I left my office. I left my computer on. I left my breakfast there. I just said, the hell with this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I just walked, and I got as far, I walked down 6th Avenue. I was on 24th Street. I got as far as Grand Street, and that was it. And
they wouldn't let you get...
Yeah, they were starting to kind of, you know, not let people through. And there were all this, like, parade of people walking up 6th Avenue, like,
yeah.
On dust and everything else. It was oh my God, like, the faces, like, of shock and everything else.
Right.
But I honestly, when the towers fell, I didn't know if she was alive. And then I actually... I used to live in the village right off of Bleecker Street, and there's an old church there called Our Lady of Pompeii, and I didn't know what else to do. I swear to God I was going to faint, so I needed to sit down. And also, we were raised Catholic, so it seemed like a very
appropriate thing to do.
And also, you know, your grandmother, you know, got those lessons into you all those years. You know, it worked. So go to church.
So you went there.
I came out of that church and I just knew you were okay.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it,
right?
In my gut. And then, you know, it took. And when I got back to my office finally, like after 3 hours, there was a message from Michael saying that, you know, someone had called and
right.
You were okay. So.
But see, actually, you didn't know when Roger called and said we made it out.
Yeah, he didn't
but
know
then,
until that point, right?
But then he didn't know the towers fell,
right.
And then you had to wait again. And then I have to get.
Well, I didn't know. We didn't know that.
Right. Then I called you when I got to Jersey. But, well, it took hours to get through because
yeah.
Of the lines were so jammed.
Right. But when we did see each other finally the next day, it was just.
It was.
Oh my God!
Tears of joy.
I couldn't let go. And.
I borrowed old clothes from Mark, and
she threw
I had to go
out.
Across the street to the mall there, the Newport Mall, and buy some shoes because the shoes were all ruined and
yeah.
Cuts on my feet from walking from all the way from the pier that we were at all the way to his house, and that was a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
People just—it was weird because people just not weird. It was people in their cars listen to the radio
yeah.
and
like, I mean, in the city, I mean, there were like literally like 50s. 100 people like gathered around a car stereo or a store or something like
yeah.
Listening to the news.
I remember that night we walked and you could see, you know, the World Trade Center at the shore there on the Jersey side
mm-hmm.
And it was completely black
mm.
With that smoke still coming
yeah.
Out and smoldering
mm-hmm.
And you could see like a little red and a little different colors of orange and just going up to the sky. It's just the smell. And then we found new office 6 weeks later, and just the smell of death was still in the air.
Yeah. Also, you should also say about the your banner from your
oh yes
your
they,
office.
They recovered our office banner. It
and
survived. There was tears in it, and it had that smell of that smell again. The
whatever the fuel or in the just
whatever it was,
yeah.
But.
chemical?
We have it. We have it in a glass frame
it's
now.
It's been framed. Yeah, it's in the office. Yeah. And where's your new office?
Actually, we moved again. We right after the World Trade Center, we went to 20 Exchange, and then from there we went to 125 Maiden Lane, okay. to smaller quarters.
Right.
But that came with us, though. They found a couple of things later on. People are still calling us the police department, and they found some photographs, old photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we had a basement. We had storage area mm-hmm. in the basement mm-hmm. level, and they found some of our archives, photos, old photos,
oh, that's cool.
and journals and stuff.
I'm just glad we did this.
Yeah.
And actually, the whole thing for me, I mean, obviously everyone had a profound, reaction to it and what they did after. But one of the best things I did after that, because I felt like I needed to do something, was I did volunteer work at the New York Historical Society. And I was very, very honored to be included with working with some of the curators there. And I got to see... from the inside, St. Paul's Chapel, when everything kind of became closed to the public and it was just the rescue folks.
And, must have been wonderful.
You know, like the first day I got there, it was raining outside, and inside it was just like heaven. They were like massage therapists. There was classical music, like live musicians playing. Mm. There was food. There were just, I saw one guy smoking in St. Paul's. I mean, it was just like no one's going to ask the guy to put it out. I was just like, wow. It was profound.
Steffi, thank you for being there for me,
baby.
Honey.
Love you.
She wrote me a poem about it.
A really bad poem, actually.
No, it's beautiful. I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
The sentiment was beautiful.
Yeah, it's really great. So, thanks for that stuff.
Okay, babe. My name is Stephanie Romeo. I'm 46 years old. Today is July 21st, a Thursday. We're at the World Trade Center sound booth in the PATH station, and I'm talking to my sister today about her experiences on 9/11.
Hi, my name is Diane Spindler. I'm 44 years old. It's the 21st of July, 2005. We're down here in the booth at the World Trade Center, and this is my sister interviewing me.
So, Di... I call her Di, by the way. Her full name is Diane, but she's always been Di to me. So September 11th, my God, we've talked about this countless, numerous, thousands of times. We've cried. We even laughed. I mean, it's kind of hard to even believe that, but we have. But this is something that, we feel really good about doing and sharing the story, especially, you having gone through what you have and sharing it with the world, basically.
Right.
I think that's really cool. So just to start off, just to go in order, that morning you woke up, was like when you woke up that morning, anything?
Well, it started
out?
Actually stick like out? A brand new day for me because I just moved into my new apartment.
That's right.
And, I was excited
the first
about that.
You woke up. There.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was like a different route that I was taking. And I was early because where I lived before, it took me a long time to get to work. So I was happy that
so
I got there early.
Just to let people know, like you're
I
living
start
in...
work at 8:30.
Okay.
I was living in Staten Island prior to 9/11. I moved September 3rd. So September 11th, I was in my new place and got the express buses. Normally do, but it was much earlier, and I was so happy that I got to work early because I was always late.
So what
quarter to nine I would get to work. I was supposed to be there at 8:30.
Okay.
So
what was early?
So I got there like at 8:30.
Okay.
Oh, 20 after eight, whatever. Okay, I got upstairs, and what I normally do is talk to my coworkers. I just remember the day because it was beautiful out.
Yeah.
It was just so clear out. Mm-hmm. It was such a nice day.
We
I was feeling
such
happy.
Horrible weather. Like
it was election day. It was
right.
I didn't know what to expect because the traffic and
right.
Just that kind of thing. Got upstairs, talked to my coworker, and actually, I was standing by his desk. His name is Ron, and all of a sudden, the building just. First, there was a loud noise, tremendous sound and the building actually swayed that I was standing up, and I actually was falling over, and my coworker Ron was sitting, and he actually stood up and kind of like grabbed me. Mm. And of course I said, "What the hell?" Everybody's like, "What the hell is that?" And we were all like in a panic at that point, because then we saw things. The World Trade Center had long windows,
right,
you know, from ceiling to floor.
Right.
And I was standing up, and I could just see things flying in the air. It wasn't like big things. And we couldn't figure out what it was. Ron said, "It must have been a generator or something that that crashed, that fell on the roof." Or it was just so, we couldn't figure out what it was.
Right.
And
so, first of all, you should say too that, you know, the floor you were on.
Oh, yes. I worked in One World Trade Center, the 21st floor.
Which was the North Tower.
Yeah. 2161 was the suite.
Right. And the name of your company.
Yeah, I worked for and still do United Seamen Service. It's a nonprofit organization for merchant seamen. We have social clubs overseas, and New York is the headquarters of this organization. So we're not a big group. We're like, I think we're 11 people in the office at that time. I think one person was on jury duty, and another person started work at 9. So majority, we were all in at that time,
right,
when the plane hit at, 10 to 9, the first 8,
yeah,
right? It was a 10 to 9.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So then Ron ran out. And it's so funny, because we were getting, like, phone calls.
Right.
One of our trustees called up about a meeting. He goes, "I can't talk right now." He hangs up the phone.
God,
you know?
Yeah.
He ran out to the hallway, and he saw cracks in the wall. And he figured, "Oh, this is bad," because we experienced the first bombing in 1993.
Yeah, I remember.
And I just said to one of my coworkers, "Get your pocketbook," because I remember from the first time. So
yeah.
I remember my boss was saying, "Okay, everybody out, everybody out." So we got out. I remember going to the front door, and I kind of broke down. I was like, "Oh my God, not again!" I was starting to cry.
So you knew something was really bad.
Yeah, coworker put his arm around me and said, "It's gonna be okay." Somebody else was like, "No, don't worry about it. Let's go. So I composed myself, and girls went out first, men ran out last. We went to the stairwell. I remember it was organized. People were like pretty calm. The lights were on.
But that's right, because they didn't have lights before.
Right. The first one, it was completely dark, and I remember going down the steps at that time, the smoke was getting heavier and heavier. You couldn't breathe. This mm-hmm. time, clear, mm-hmm. the lights were on, but that smell, it was
the
that,
jet fuel or?
Yeah, it was something I never smelled before.
What
was,
did it smell like? I mean, do you remember? You just know. You
like
smell,
a burning.
Like a
gasoline, I guess, but not like a typical gasoline.
Like a burning rubber, or I mean, you can't. I
couldn't even describe it. Yeah. Just couldn't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my coworker, a woman named Eileen, and believe it or not, we were like the same height. We're very mm-hmm. short, and she held my hand down the whole 21 flights of steps.
Mm.
So we got down to the end.
Did you see firemen coming up?
No, mm-hmm. no, because I think it was still early.
Right, right.
You know,
course,
at
sure.
that time, because yeah. we got down there pretty fast.
Because the North Tower,
I think it only took
was
us 20 minutes to get down.
20 minutes.
Yeah, so down to the plaza level,
right.
where that big sphere was.
Right.
That's the plaza. And I remember getting down there and seeing the plaza with all these different things that were unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was talking on the phone. I said that it looked like tree trunks,
mm.
you know, and it must have been like bodies
oh, yeah.
that were burnt. But
oh, God.
And then a lot of glass, a lot of things. I didn't want to look because they kept saying walk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, going down the steps too. The water was rising. I remember that.
What do you mean? There was water on the floor?
On the steps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my coworker took her shoes off.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't take your shoes off. I kept my, you know, you know, keep your shoes on. And we got down there. Then she put her shoes back on because somebody was saying, "Come on, get your shoes on, keep walking," you know. So they kind of pushed us along. I couldn't see my other coworkers at that time. The other girls kind of went in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We lost sight of them.
Right.
I don't know where the men were, but I know that they were behind me
mm-hmm.
later on because they told me they were
mm-hmm.
behind me. Got out through the plaza, seeing all that debris and all that glass. I remember the security guard saying, "Come on, move it. They were there, you know, guys that you'd see every day
mm-hmm.
going through the turnstiles to go
right.
up, showing your ID. I remember right. seeing familiar faces. And then they told us to go through the Marriott Hotel broken glass all over. Then we got to the end, and the guys...
Were the windows of the Marriott broken? I mean, was it...
Well, because it was inside, right? We had to go through this revolving door. It was inside.
Right.
We weren't outside yet.
Right.
So I remember that was shattered, just the revolving door, and just things just totally in a disarray, broken.
Right,
just, I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of details, but getting out to the plaza, going through the Marriott Hotel, the security guard said, he was telling everybody to go out one by one, and he was like, when you go out, don't look up and cover your head. Well, of course, you know, what I did was,
I looked up
because I wanted to see what the hell was coming down on my head.
Mm-hmm.
And my coworker was in front of me. And
when you looked up, what did you see?
You know what? The bright sun. It was just so beautiful. And but the smell and just alarms going off, just people screaming, people running. I just kept running, and of course then I have a heart condition. I couldn't breathe, and I was trying to run, and she goes, come on, run. We ran down West Street.
Mm-hmm.
First we came out of Liberty Street.
So what, you're out?
Coming out of the hotel.
Okay,
right. My girlfriend went first, and then I went.
Mm-hmm.
She's running fast, but I couldn't catch up to her because of my condition. I was like, and I think I was just probably in shock at that point, just, you know, nervous. Because I, when he said something's going to fall on your head, I was like looking up and, you know, running. And then I saw a plane. I said to myself, boy, that plane is so low. What is it doing here? Not thinking that, you know, like it was going to be hitting the building.
Right.
And the next thing I knew, as you look up, sometimes you look up, you can't really see because
it's
so high. But the next thing I knew, the plane went into the building. The sound was loud, and I kind of just froze there. I couldn't move.
So you were literally like right underneath it.
Bridge, well, it was pretty close.
Okay.
And I just kind of like, I think I was just, paralyzed with fear at that point. Or in shock, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I couldn't run anymore. I was like, I couldn't catch my breath. I was like, my pain in my chest was pounding. Mm-hmm. And I was just stood there like a statue.
So you're on West Street.
Yeah, and I remember looking up at this guy's face, and his mouth was open. And at that point, I couldn't hear anymore. I became deaf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I had my menstrual cycle, and it's almost like I had like a hemorrhage. Like my whole body just went through this whole shocking, I guess. I was in shock. But then you kind of like wake up, like... And just the next instant is to run.
Right.
So
you ran.
So I ran down.
You were with Eileen still?
Eileen, yeah. Then she helped me along. She stayed with me. We ran down this street called Albany Street, which is one of those skinny streets down when you pass West Street, when you cross over.
Right.
And I remember just people just screaming. Oh, I remember the shoes. There was a lot of shoes on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where the hell did all these shoes come from? And like... And just people screaming and just being in a daze. People gathering, people coming out. Because then when you go into Battery Park City, there's some stores, there's some restaurants.
Right.
And people just gathering out in like a big crowd. People running to pay phones. People trying to get people on their cell phones. Then we just stood there, kind of like figuring out, like, what should we do? I think I tried to say, let's go to a payphone. Too long of a line. Went to the next one. Too long of a time. Trying to gather our thoughts of what to do. And
so I'm just curious, did you know, like, this something was really hard? I mean, something, if this wasn't an accident, basically. You knew that something was really bad.
Someone planned this,
you know.
Well, you know, I don't think that way at all.
You never thought, even when the second, well, you didn't know that the first plane had hit?
I didn't, exactly.
You didn't know that. Okay.
I didn't know that a plane hit the building.
That you were in.
Yeah. But then you kind of like, at that time, I couldn't figure that out.
Right.
I had
just,
no clue.
You were just, under too much stress.
Yeah. Then we decided, I said to her, let's go, my boss lives in Battery Park City.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's go there. Maybe they went there. And I remember the story later on. My coworkers, the men, were they told them to stop because, see, the plane hit Tower 2.
Right before
that. And they were at the door.
Oh, boy.
And the whole building shook, and they didn't even know if they were going to get out. But then finally they let them out. So that was... So a couple of them ended up... We all went to Roger's house, who was my boss. Mm-hmm. We waited there for a little bit, and all of a sudden we saw... I saw Richie, and I saw Mark. And Roger, my boss. And I was, like, so happy to see him. I was hugging him. I didn't hug my boss because I was like, oh, I didn't know I was going to react. Like, so I was like, he tried to, he thought we can go up to his apartment. But his security said, nobody's going upstairs unless you live here.
Right.
So he said, okay, give me all your numbers. I'll call your family. So he's, like, trying to write down phone numbers. Oh, and right. He's so bad with numbers. He's always messing them up. And so we're giving him all that information. And then he went upstairs, and he was in the process of calling us, our families. In the meantime, we went into this, where in the back of his building is a courtyard. And I guess all the residents there were gathering, and whoever, people from maybe the office of World Financial Center is right over there.
Right.
Who knows? Just, the people were there. Just people, like, were all over the place, and just kept looking up at the towers. And I remember sitting on this little, beautiful little bench. Me and Eileen were just sitting there, just kind of like gathering our thoughts. And Mark was there for a little bit, but then he walked away. And we're sitting there. Now, the bench is facing opposite. It faces the water,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
Facing the opposite of the World Trade Center.
Right.
Right? So... I don't know. We would just, like, turn around like this looking, and all of a sudden, we were looking at it, and all of a sudden you hear this crescendo, this kind of, like, boom, 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 and, like, getting faster,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're seeing the building coming down, and we just stood there. I was just
so
like,
wait, you were sitting, and then you then,
yeah.
then you just stood up? I mean, you...
Yeah, then we stood up. When we saw that, then we actually stood up and then started
looking.
It stood there for God knows how long. I mean, I don't know how long it took the whole building to come down, but maybe...
Seconds, basically. Because I watched it from the street, and it was silent from where I was. I was on 6th Avenue.
Yeah.
Like, right by Ray's Pizza
uh-huh.
on, like, 11th Street and 6th yeah. Avenue. And I'll never forget. It was so shocking. I thought I was going to faint.
Yeah.
It was hard. You just, you know, I saw the buildings on fire. I knew that something was really bad, but you just never, ever
yeah.
imagine that happening. And
uh-huh.
just everyone around me was just going, oh, shit, oh,
yeah.
shit. I just, that's all I kept saying, like,
yeah.
oh, my God.
Yeah, I've heard that. I
oh,
heard
my
that a
God.
Lot also.
You know?
Yeah.
And I almost lost my mind. It was just, and then, I mean, my thought was like, I knew you were on the 21st floor.
Yeah.
I knew that you got out. I mean, you were there in 93. You knew what to do, all those people. But that was shocking.
Yeah.
And that made me feel like, oh, my God, is my sister dead?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
When I saw that big ball, it looked like something from a sci-fi movie. So surreal. So, you can't believe it's happening. I guess after it started coming down, then we started to run. I guess I'm a delay reaction, you know?
Right.
We started to run. We lost sight of Richie. We lost sight of Mark. So it was just her and I. And, of course, Roger was upstairs in his apartment. And the next thing I know, we're starting to run. And that big ball of whatever it was,
smoke and
ash and coming at us like, you know, like attacking us. You felt like you were being attacked by an alien. And then we were running, and it was like there's like a wall over here with big shrubbery, so you couldn't go that way. Straight ahead was another wall, so we had to go like down this little path. And the next thing I know, Mark, we saw his face, and he just had his arms out.
Wow.
And he just gathered us. I was on one end, he was on, she was on the other end, and he just grabbed us. And then by that time, that thing was on top of us. And we kind of like, he goes, let's jump in the water. I'm like, oh, God. But the next thing, the whole thing came over us. And then it turned, he said, the last thing he said was, God be with us. And I remember putting my face in his armpit. And I had my medallion, my
Your medal.
My medal on. I was holding on to that, and I was trying to think of a prayer, the Hail Mary. I couldn't think of all the words. I was like, Hail Mary, full of grace. And then I just thought of my son, and I was just Michael, remember saying Michael, just his name, and then it went black, and we were there for it felt like an eternity, because I thought this was it. I'm gonna die, because I probably won't be able to breathe in this. And a calmness came over me. Like, I said, okay. This is my time to go. I'm gonna go. That's it. I felt blessed because I wasn't alone, you know. And I just thought of Michael. But I was so happy that I was with somebody. I was like, I wasn't alone, and it was just silent. And the next thing I know, it was completely dark, and stood there, and we just stood there, and Mark was like, I think I see the sky. I think I see the sky. I see some of the blue sky. He said, I think it's clearing. I think it's clearing. It was almost like a miracle, because the wind just took this big thing that we were in and just shifted to the left. Mm-hmm. And the next thing we know, it was prior to that big thing coming over, it was like white smoke, gray smoke, black smoke. Right. That's what it was. Because as we were there, we were looking at our feet, and then you could just see, you couldn't see anymore, kind of thing. That's what that was like. Your eyes just. And then I think I shut my eyes, because I didn't know, and I just wanted to close my eyes and just.
So then, okay, so there's light, and then you guys, you could see each other and everything.
Right,
you
gave
and
us
then...
hope, and then. Then the sounds, as it was starting to clear around us, coughing, crying, vomiting, a baby's cry, voices, come here, come this way, in distant, because that area that we were in wasn't that heavily with people. It wasn't like a lot of people, because it was a residential,
right?
And it's right by the promenade there,
right,
where people
jog.
It's really pretty area.
Yeah.
And the next thing we know is, as everything clears out, there's a boat right there by the water's edge, and some guy. He must have been a worker. He must have been some kind of guy that he didn't look a resident. He must have came from work or whatever. He comes to my girlfriend Eileen like an angel out of nowhere. He says, "Come this way." It was so mysterious. So we follow him, and he goes, "Come on, get on this boat." I recall seeing, I think I told you, the Mexican woman. She must have been a nanny, had that baby wrapped, and I remember the blue and pink kind of blanket. I remember an older woman, white hair in a bun, with a tank top. Her head was gashed, blood coming from her head.
Now let me just say one thing, because I know that there's much more to come, but I just remember from talking to Mark, because I did talk to him after that many times, and he told me basically that you guys were saved because the World Financial Center are big buildings, and they basically absorb
all the
major
debris,
stuff falling.
Oh, I think so.
And
if
you
there
know,
was
for
no
the, for the people,
right?
Those poor people who were under an area that was not hidden or enclosed or whatever.
Right.
I mean, my God, I heard things the size of Buicks. Hunks of all.
That's probably some of the things I saw at the plaza level, things of steel,
desks and furniture and girders or just everything you can imagine that goes into a building and what's in it. You were lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. So
when did you realize you get all right? So the guy says, "Come with me," and you go on the boat.
So they were. They were firemen, but they were working on this to restore this old fireboat that they were working on.
It's actually a famous boat, and I forget the name of it. The James.
The James Henry is called.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
There's something else. There's another name.
Maybe something after that. Yeah.
I have an article because the New York Times wrote a story about it.
I have it too. Yeah.
And so that was the boat that you you were saved.
So now they're trying to get people on this boat. I think they were trying to get the injured on first.
Right.
And then they got us on. I remember it's a very high wall, and then it has that fence around it. Mm-hmm. And I remember I'm short, and I had to like jump over, and then it was a big jump then from the boat to that fence.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't jump. And so somebody pushed me down and hit my ass, and there I went flying, and somebody caught me. So my co-workers are like, "Wow,
see your underwear." Were you wearing a skirt that day?
No, thank God. Oh, okay. I wasn't wearing a skirt. I was wearing pants. Oh God.
So you basically were.
I got pushed on that boat. All right.
So
okay.
All right. So you're on the boat,
and it's crowded, and people are stunned, and.
I mean, what was were people talking, or were they just kind of quiet, or what was it?
No, there was a lot of chatter, just
like crazy talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like crazy. You know.
I was stunned. I was like, could not say anything. I was speechless. Right. I feel like maybe I was, you know. Yeah. Then I started sneezing. Maybe it was the sea air, and like because all that stuff was on you, and it was in my lungs, and you know, people coughing and throwing up. Maybe they inhaled a lot of that stuff, but all I kept doing, then the sea air just kind of made me sneeze it out. So I was pretty lucky, I think, that boat was there.
And then what happened?
Then
to the boat?
Mark was like, "Now, just in case this boat sinks."
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I said, "Oh my God, I can't swim. I'm gonna die today for sure."
Oh God.
That's what I thought to myself. I just survived that thing, but I'm gonna die in the water. And then they're trying to put
what
a lot.
Made him say that? I mean,
because that's the way he is—a realist, you know.
Oh my God! We're
happy
more
that
like
he
a
was
pessimist.
He's that way.
But he's—I would never.
He's wonderful, but he's
I would
very
never,
truthful. He's
I just, would, but well, I've never see him in that light. Okay.
Yeah, well,
right.
You don't work
but
with him.
But I remember
either.
What you told me. Like, okay, you guys are on the ferry and you're going towards Jersey City, and Mark.
It's not a ferry. It's the
or whatever the boat.
That fireboat.
The fireboat.
Yeah.
And Mark, thankfully, lives in Jersey City, so you guys have a place to go.
Yeah.
But,
well, we didn't know that at the time. We didn't know where the boat was going,
direction.
But we figured we're going to the Jersey.
Area,
right. Okay. I remember them trying to put a life jacket on me, and like couldn't fit. They're like, "Oh, I'm gonna die today."
Okay, die.
I know.
So,
I'm sorry.
Hey, listen.
I'm laughing
I'm just,
about this now, but
no,
right
know,
after, I couldn't stop crying for days after.
Days.
I was
and
a
months.
I was a mess.
Yeah. No, I know. But you. I remember you saying that you guys were on the boat and you looked. Towards the city and
right and then we heard it again
the same noise.
The crescendo again and we couldn't believe it.
Oh,
we lost
God.
Our tower my
but,
beloved
you know,
towers. I loved that place so much.
You worked there for how long?
In 10 years. It was a great place to work. You saw so many different kinds of people. It's like at that time I didn't do much traveling, but I didn't have to because I must have seen every nationality there was.
Right.
People used to come from everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a great place to work. I loved it. It was a city within a city.
Yeah.
You know, downstairs
mm-hmm.
and the concourse level. And
did you find out about people who didn't make it? I mean,
yeah.
People like the staff of the building and just anybody else.
Well, some of my coworkers, like they were friendly with a lot of people in the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
People who worked up in the. Windows of the World.
Yeah.
A friend of mine lost a lot of friends that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who worked in the cafeteria or up in the restaurant part. I remember one particular person in our business. People could come in and donate books because we send them out to sea for the Merchant Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular man who worked for the Port Authority. He used to come in once a week with all these magazines and all these books and. And I always have to write out a receipt for him, and he always used to make me laugh. And I found that he died later. I felt so bad.
Mm.
He was in the elevator.
Mm.
I heard stories later on about just people in the elevator and just the fuel just coming down. I
mean, people
fire in
people
the
people who survived it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I heard stories. One man was in the concourse, and the fire came down and it went into the revolving door.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just crazy things.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think compared to what, because the news, and I, believe me, for a whole year after that, I couldn't get enough World Trade Center stories. I had to hear everyone, and
yeah.
I bought magazines and newspapers, and mm-hmm. I listened to the, you know, all the media and everything, and it just, after a while, it was just so much. But I just remembered just these horrible stories of people, you know, pieces of bodies, you know, strewn through the streets,
yeah.
and you know, the people trying to get by, and you know, and all this craziness is happening around them. It's like, how do you as a human being react to something like that? I mean, like, it's like you're in war.
Yeah.
You know, as a soldier, you kind of expect to see some terrible things, but
right.
as a civilian who
yeah.
had no clue, you went to work that day, and then all of a sudden there are
death around you.
There are decapitated bodies around you, and
yeah.
and worse. I mean, I still can't get over that thought that those two huge buildings are gone now.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're sitting right at the seat of them, and you know, coming out of this PATH station, you'd go up the escalator or whatever into
yeah.
the concourse area,
yeah.
and now you come out of the subway here, and you have light and air.
I try to recall where things were every time I walk by here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where was I? Well, that's where FedEx used to be. That's where used to go down there for Duane Reade, because Duane Reade was one place, and then it moved because
right.
they were in the midst of a whole renovation. You know,
right.
they were bringing all these upscale stores, and it was going to be wonderful. You know.
Also, it just reminded me of like Larry Silverstein, who was the, you know, the owner of the Trade Center.
Yeah.
And actually, I have a copy of it at home because you gave me a copy of rent due from
yeah.
September 1st to September 10th, or was
something
it
like that. Yeah.
He wanted his rent.
Yeah.
For September.
Yeah. Well, I said, well, where's all security then? You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
was just. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not say anything in public about that.
What you just did, now it's recorded.
Yeah, well, there you go, Larry.
You heartless.
Yeah. Hey, we're from Brooklyn. We can talk this way. But I honestly had a kind of a very strange, I had a really strange experience. It was actually 3 weeks before September 11th. It was a Tuesday. My friend Samantha was visiting me from L.A., and she came out and spent a week with me. And I remember waking up that morning, the 22nd, and I heard planes, and they were really, really loud. And when I asked her later if she heard the planes, she said, no, I didn't hear any planes. And I had very, extremely vivid dreams. And
wow.
in the dream, which I keep a journal as well, so I write dreams down, I wrote this dream down of towers crumbling, and that we weren't hurt, and I didn't say who we were. I didn't
yeah.
know who we, is me and somebody else, or
mm-hmm.
I don't know. And but we were okay, and that, but the thing was that I knew that it was not a natural disaster. It was, and I wrote this, it was a military action.
Mm.
Okay, so that was, I woke up that morning, the 22nd of August.
Mm-hmm.
That day, I went, Sammy and I went to Century 21's to go shopping. And I said, you know what? My sister works right across the street. Why don't we go say hi?
I'm working 10 years. You never came to visit me.
Never.
I was so thrilled.
Never.
You finally came up.
That's right. Never went to your office.
Yeah.
So, of course, the security was extremely tight. And actually,
yeah.
two of your coworkers came and escorted us
yeah.
upstairs.
Right.
Which was
you had
really,
to be.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And we went up there. We saw, you know, your beautiful wide open office, and
yeah,
then there was this
nice office.
Gorgeous conference area,
right? Well,
and
yeah.
Sammy took out her camera,
mm-hmm.
she started snapping pictures,
right?
And basically, my friend photographed
mm-hmm.
your escape route,
yeah, that's true.
That day, because I have the picture at home now,
that's true,
it's framed now,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just can't believe it. And the thing was that I didn't realize what I wrote until 3 weeks after September 11th.
Isn't that amazing?
So,
yeah, it was like a premonition.
I don't know. It was so weird. It was so weird, but so vivid.
Mm. Well, we love New York so much. You feel like connected to it.
Oh, my God. It made me, I will never forget the profound, profound sense of sadness,
yeah.
of connection with people.
Yeah.
I remember looking you in the eye, in the subway, on the street.
Yeah.
Union Square was just like, I can't even begin to put it into words how just the love vibes out there were just so strong, yeah. And just this sorrow.
The worst day of humanity and the best day of humanity.
Yeah, I mean, because people in this city, man, I mean, we're born here and I ain't leaving. You know, I've lived elsewhere, but I've always come back.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a sad thing that today, you know, London had bombings today that thank God no one was killed, but it was 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks ago
that
56 people were killed
yeah.
on the subways there. I lived in London myself, and I remembered very, very distinctly the neighborhood I lived in was the East End, and there was a church across the way from my apartment building, and it still had the soot and the dirt from the bombs in 1941 or 1940, where the Blitz was.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, wow, you know, these people experienced war on their own terms. And you know what? On September 11th,
you did
we
too.
Did. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I don't forget that. You can't forget
yeah.
that.
The good part about my company is that we all survived.
Yeah,
you know,
lucky.
That was.
I mean, like all those people. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my God, my friend worked for Marsh McLennan, and they lost 267 people,
yeah.
And then there was Cantor Fitzgerald, which lost
yeah.
like 700 or something.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling. But it really brought so many people together. There was so much love, and it's unfortunate that our government, our politicians, did nothing about it. They didn't use all those good feelings of solidarity.
Wow.
You know,
because they,
all right,
that's the way it goes.
Let me get all, you know,
that's for another time,
right?
You're going off on a tangent,
yeah, right? But, I feel blessed
that you were
that people just walked around like obviously they were in a daze,
yeah,
and but there was so much. I mean, I felt connected with people, you know,
you definitely change, the way you think, the way you feel. You just have to appreciate every day and just love the people that you're with, or
mm-hmm.
even strangers. You just like, hey, you don't have to hate me because I'm white or I'm black, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
What religion you are, you know, that's what I learned, really. Although I wasn't really like that to begin with, but even more so, it's
makes you appreciate people, like, because, you know.
And trying to teach that to my son. He's going to be 10 years old, and he's pretty hip to, like, different kinds of people. And, you know, if it starts at home,
that's right.
You know, then hopefully it'll carry on to the next generation, the generation after that, and so on. But I can't understand people who just have so much hatred in their heart. They just want to kill somebody that's just going to work. You know, have nothing to do with you and your beliefs. That's the sad part,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately, that's reality.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Do you guys remember when you first saw each other after the attacks, and when you knew that Diana was okay?
Well, I
didn't come home till the next day.
Yeah,
I couldn't get home. I was
right,
in Jersey, and they shut everything down. My boss was kind enough; he got us a hotel room in Jersey City, and. And I actually didn't see you till the next day.
That's right.
Everybody came over to my mother's house, and we just hugged each other and cried.
Oh, God. It was
my
so...
mother called up and said to my sister, go find your sister.
Because
like she could go find me, you know?
My mother, I happened to call. It was like 9:02 when I called my mother, and she had the television on, and she was hysterical at that point. And then... all of a sudden I hear, oh my God, there's another one. And then she started to scream like an animal. And
I didn't know that. She basically
lost it. She lost it. And I just hung up the phone. I left my office. I left my computer on. I left my breakfast there. I just said, the hell with this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I just walked. And I got as far. I walked down 6th Avenue. I was on 24th Street. I got as far as Grand Street. And that was it. And
they wouldn't let you get.
Yeah, they were starting to kind of, you know, not let people through, and there were all this like parade of people walking up 6th Avenue, like on dust and everything else. It was
oh
my God, like the faces, like of shock and everything else.
Right.
But I honestly, when the towers fell, I didn't know if she was alive, and then I actually. I used to live in the village right off of Bleecker Street, and there's an old church there called Our Lady of Pompeii, and I didn't know what else to do. I swear to God I was going to faint, so I needed to sit down. And also, we were raised Catholic, so it seemed like a very
appropriate,
thing to do. And also,
go pray.
You know, Your grandmother, you know, got those lessons into you all those years. You know, it worked. So go to church.
So you went
I
there.
Just said, I just, I came out of that church and I just knew you were okay.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew it
right?
in my gut. And then, you know, it took, and when I got back to my office finally, like after 3 hours, there was a message from Michael saying that, you know, someone had called and you
right.
were okay. So.
But see, actually, you didn't know when Roger called and said we made it out.
Yeah, he didn't
but
know
then,
up until that point, right?
But then he didn't know the towers fell,
right.
and then you had to wait again. And then I don't think
I didn't know. We didn't know that.
Right. Then I called you when I got to Jersey. But, well, it took hours to get through because of the lines were so jammed.
Right. But when we did see each other finally the next day, it was just.
It was.
Oh my God!
Tears of joy.
Couldn't let go. I couldn't let go. And.
I borrowed old clothes from Mark, and
she threw all
I had to go
out.
Across the street to the mall there, the Newport Mall, and buy some shoes because the shoes were all ruined and cuts on my feet from walking from all the way from the pier that we were at all the way to his house, and that was a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
People just—it was weird because people just not weird. It was people in their cars listen to the radio and
like, I mean, in the city, I mean, there were like literally like. 50, 100 people like gathered around a car stereo or a store or something like listening to the news.
I remember that night we walked and you could see, you know, the World Trade Center at the shore there on the Jersey side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely black with that smoke still coming out and smoldering.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see like a little red and a little different colors of orange and just going up to the sky. It's just... the smell. And then we found new office 6 weeks later, and just the smell of death was still in the air.
Yeah. Also, you should also say about the your banner from your
office. Oh, yes.
They
recovered our office banner. It survived. There was tears in it, and it had that smell of that smell again. Whatever it was, but...
chemicals.
We have it in a glass frame
it's
now.
It's been framed. Yeah, it's in the office.
Yeah.
And where's your new office?
Actually, we moved again. We right after the World Trade Center, we went to 20 Exchange, and then from there we went to 125 Maiden Lane to smaller quarters.
Right.
But that came with us though. They found a couple of things later on. People are still calling us the police department, and they found some photographs, old photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we had a basement. We had storage area in the basement level, and they found our some of our archives, photos, old photos, and journals and stuff. So.
If there are any kind of closing words you'd like to say?
Oh, I'm just glad we did this.
Yeah.
And actually, the whole thing for me, I mean, obviously everyone had a profound reaction to it and what they did after, but one of the best things I did after that, because I felt like I needed to do something, was I did volunteer work at the New York Historical Society, and I was very, very honored to be included with working with some of the curators there, and I got to see from the inside, St. Paul's Chapel, when everything kind of became closed to the public and it was just the rescue folks.
And that must have been wonderful.
You know,
to
like the first day I got there, it was raining outside, and inside it was just like heaven. There were like massage therapists. There was classical music, like live musicians playing.
Mm.
There was food. There were just, I mean, every imagine. I mean, I saw one guy smoking in St. Paul's. I mean, it was just like no one's going to ask the guy to put it out. I was just like, wow, it was profound.
Steffi, thank you for being there for me,
baby.
Honey.
Love you.
She wrote me a poem about it.
A really bad poem, actually.
No, it's beautiful. I love
it. Okay.
I love it.
The sentiment was beautiful.
Yeah, it's really great. So, thanks for that, Steph.
Okay, babe.